All right. So, Kevin Caldwell, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
I'm so glad that you could make it on short notice. I know I contacted you kind of out of the blue, but I understand that you're doing some really important work and some things that our listeners can do to help minor the effects of marijuana use. In terms of how it's seen in the criminal justice system through law enforcement and the courts. So what are you working on now? You were here a little bit earlier with us last year. You were working on some state legislation. So I'd like to know what you're working on now and what we can do to help, and also maybe a little update on what's going on at the state.
Absolutely. Well, last year, the Louisiana legislature passed some sentence reduction reform and making simple marijuana possession, both first and second offense, a misdemeanor. So that was a big step for the state of Louisiana. The New Orleans delegation that put forth that had to compromise on that. They wanted something much more similar to what we're seeing the city council put forth right now. And last year, we made a request to Councilwoman Guidry's office, who put forth the 2011 ordinance that allowed officers the ability to write a municipal summons versus an arrest for simple possession. I really wanted to look at the data from before that ordinance was enacted and to afterwards. And NOPD has done a great job in scaling back marijuana enforcement in New Orleans. Before 2011, they were averaging 6,000 arrests a year for simple possession. And in the 4 years after the ordinance was put in, they were down to 2,600. And they were writing municipal summonses. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
They were writing municipal summonses in 1,400 cases a year. So there was under 1,000 people less a year who were even entering the justice system at all over simple marijuana possession. And I think this was a great first step. And once the council was able to analyze the data and look at it, they moved forward with putting forth a new ordinance this year. And this new ordinance that'll come up for vote on March 17th will allow officers to write municipal basically citations, the equivalent of a parking ticket. The first time somebody would violate this policy would be a $40 fine. The second time would be a $60 fine. The third time would be an $80 fine. And subsequent offenses would be $100. And when you look at under the current laws that we have in the city, a person could be looking up to fines and court costs of $950 for a marijuana possession charge, which I think everybody agrees is still a little bit too harsh for what the quote-unquote crime is.
It's just a lot too harsh, especially for people who don't have means and can't afford to bond themselves out of jail. And those kinds of fines are completely out of reach for a lot of
people. And let's be honest, it's usually the people who can least afford it that end up getting caught with a fine like that.
Right, right. I know I just heard a talk by Tom Dart, who is the sheriff at Cook County Jail in Chicago, the largest jail in the country. And I know this isn't marijuana, but he just to give an example of how these fines can escalate. There was a man in his jail that he talked about who committed a $13 shoplifting offense, and that $13 shoplift ended up being a $4,000 bond for him, and he's in Cook County Jail right now. I mean, these things, this is $13. He's like, if you just, he would have paid the $13, but he doesn't have any way to get himself out of jail. And he's not a violent criminal. So I think we can sort of overlay that onto what's happening with these minor drug offenses as well. People that are smoking drugs are doing even less criminal activity, in my opinion, than a shoplift, right?
It's a victimless crime.
Right. And Kevin, just want to let our listeners know, tell us about the work that you do in your organization and as far as the research that you've been up to, give us a little background on you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm the executive director of Common Sense NOLA, and we work on marijuana reform, both on the state and local level. And to some point the federal level, but really we're most effective in the local and to a point the state level. We work with a great group of teams, Sensible Marijuana Policy out of Baton Rouge, the Louisiana Cannabis Association, also out of Baton Rouge, Normal here in Louisiana and in New Orleans. And we're trying to make sure that all the players are kind of working together and with the common goal of making a sensible marijuana policy for Louisiana. And specifically, when we look at the fact that state and municipalities are spending $46.5 million a year enforcing marijuana prohibition, and when I believe that's an $850 million budget gap that we're facing this year and a $2 billion budget gap the state's facing next year, I think it's time that we shift our paradigm. You know, we've tried draconian sentencing for victimless crimes for a long time, 50 years now, and the policies haven't worked. So we really have to question ourselves: are we trying to punish people, or trying to deter them from use? If we're trying to deter use, this policy is not the policy that the state is and the city's been following for years is not working. So I think, you know, at a certain time, you have to sit back, analyze data, look at data, and make informed decisions from that. And that is why I am so impressed with Councilwoman Guidry and her legislative aide, Tyler Gibson. They took this project on, and I know that in my discussions with Mr. Gibson, the police, for example, gave him a 47,000-line Excel spreadsheet. Now I'm going to be the first one to admit that.
How many pages is that? It's 47,000 lines. That's like divide. How good is your math?
You know, well, all I can say is
it's that, a lot.
That is a. Hopefully, they didn't print it out because that would almost be a whole tree that died for that. Right. But you know, you look at the monumental task that they took on and embraced. And I have to say that as a citizen of New Orleans, I'm incredibly impressed that with everything else that they've been tackling also over the last year, that they took this on. And Councilwoman Guidry authored the original ordinance in 2011, which allowed us to pursue the policy that we've been doing the last 4 years. And and once again, I can't give enough credit to the New Orleans Police Department. And that's not something that you hear from reformers a whole lot. But they have taken a very equitable approach to the way in which they're enforcing this.
Yeah, let's talk about what the data showed as far as who's getting summoned and who isn't. And Councilmember Guidry, of course, is Councilmember District A and also the chair of the Criminal Justice Committee. So I know a lot of these discussions have been happening within the Criminal Justice Committee. But yeah, talk about the data. So what does it show as far as breakdown about who's in jail and who's walking?
Well, you know, I'm going to be completely honest that when I requested this data, I was expecting some just egregious, human rights violation sort of thing. That's what I was expecting. And when we came back that, you know, they had scaled back enforcement so much, and that, you know, what was it, that in those 4 years, 4,500, 5,000 people that in the previous 4 year period would have been entering the criminal justice system on a simple marijuana possession were not. That is something that really surprised me. And once again, NOPD deserves kudos for the fact that in 68% of the times that an officer had a confrontation or, you know, with a citizen on a simple marijuana possession charge, if that citizen was African American, 68% of the time they were writing a municipal summons, and then 67% of the times when dealing with a Caucasian citizen, they were writing a summons, and that really, really impressed me that the police department took this seriously and they were doing equitable enforcement of the law and or of
the
ordinance.
How recent is that data?
That is up until 2014.
Okay. And the data is coming from not only the police department, but
from municipal court and criminal court.
Okay.
And once again, the monumental task that Mr. Gibson took under to try to get data from all three of those locations, put them together, and properly analyze it.
And right, that's the kind of research that you normally have to pay a lot of money for.
Well, and then to make
but
sure...
But the city should be doing, they have the power to do it, and it's good that they're using our tax money effectively. I have to say I'm happy
I mean,
about
the fact that.
That
it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears on Mr. Gibson's part, and
sure,
they didn't.
Yeah.
And now the Vera Institute of Justice came in free of charge and analyzed the data as well, and they came up with the same conclusions. So I know that's
powerful.
Been a concern of a couple of the undecided council members on this issue and this ordinance.
Let's talk about the ordinance. So what is it and what can voters do? It is, we're approaching the, when is the election? On March the
council will vote on this ordinance on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, and so we have until March 17th to submit comments to city council members if
yes,
we support the ordinance.
And we would recommend that you remember to email or call both the two at large, which is Councilperson Williams and Councilperson Head,
right,
and then as well as your personal council member, mm-hmm, which District A is Lakeview, the Carrollton area. Mm-hmm. District B is Uptown, and that's LaToya Cantrell. I'm sorry, Councilwoman Guidry represents District A.
Mm-hmm. Give us a, I think folks, because we're a little short of time.
Okay.
But where are the votes right now? Who do you know support and who's in opposition and why?
Well, at this point, we don't have anybody in opposition. To the best of my knowledge, we have three council members who are undecided, mm-hmm, and that is representing District C is Jared Brousset, which is
Nadine Ramsey C.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, you're right. I have to apologize.
I think Jared is in D, right?
D, yes.
And then Gray is E.
And yes, James Gray in New Orleans East and Nadine Ramsey in C, which includes Bywater, Marigny, French Quarter, and Algiers.
Interesting how it lines up alphabetically.
True. But those are the three that have not made...
You can remember that. C, D, E. We got A, B is okay. C, D.
Have not made their decision yet. And I know that Councilperson Brousset has voiced his concerns in the equitable enforcement of this, if this ordinance, if adopted. My answer to that would be, as we just talked about a moment ago, that over the last 4 years, the New Orleans Police Department has been very equitable in their enforcement,
right,
on this. And we also see, I mean, let's face it, a majority of the New Orleans Police Department is African American.
Right.
You know, they're not, I don't necessarily see them targeting their own community. And I think that they're...
Well, when we're talking about the fines, I mean, all it is, I don't think, what's changing is the amount of money that a person would be responsible for on a summons. Right, as
correct,
well. Okay, so I mean, why, what does that have to do with enforcing
officers will still have the ability to charge somebody under state charges for marijuana possession.
Oh,
so that will be at the discretion of the officers to whether or not to charge somebody municipally or under state charges. And
see, that's why we need you to explain all this to us, Kevin, because a lot of people, they just lump all of these things that happen, laws under government, rather than understanding that there is differences between what local and state and federal governments can do in terms of jurisdiction. So, you know, I think sometimes we forget about that, and laws are different than municipal laws.
Absolutely. And what this ordinance does is that it basically goes as far as a municipality in Louisiana can go in dealing with a misdemeanor. And this is something that's very close to what the New Orleans delegation wanted from the legislature last year. And I think it's important that the rest of the state see that we can adopt a policy such as this, and the sky won't fall. As we've seen, the sky hasn't fallen in Colorado and in Alaska and Washington.
The sky
and Oregon
is going to fall if... the Donald Trump We'll see about that, Sky, after the presidential election in the fall.
Well, but that brings
up I don't think it will fall then either.
One of the things that we're talking about is becoming engaged with the political process, right. Both in your community, in your state, and nationally. That's why it is so important to vote. That's why it's so important to contribute to stations like WTUL that continue to give a voice to our community and bring out and let people talk about these issues.
I'm so glad you brought that up because it is our marathon fundraising drive right now. We only do it once a year because we don't like to hassle our listeners too much, but just to segue on what you just said, if anyone likes what they're hearing, if you like the programming that News and Views bring to you every week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we do Democracy Now! At 9 every morning, have been for years, and different programming before that. So if you want to support us, we could use your help. We get a third of our money from... we get two-thirds of our money from donations, and so that's what keeps us rolling out here. So, you know, and that's what allows us to bring in people like Kevin and local voices that you hear talking about real experiences on the ground that sort of to cross-fact-check data and different studies that we hear and ground truth, you know, what's going on, what you hear in terms of policy and what's really happening and how it impacts people's lives. We like to bring in those local voices. So, yeah.
But that helps make people make informed decisions. And yeah, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about is your council people want to hear from you on a regular basis. They want to hear how you feel about different ordinances, the way the city operates. That they depend on that feedback to help in their decision-making process.
That's certainly been my experience, and they've always welcomed my comments. Don't always agree, but they are able to gauge, take the temperature of the community through that kind of feedback. We need it to go both ways, right? We need to inform them. They need to inform us. But just for listeners, if you do want to donate, you can call me here at the station, 504-865-5885. And you can also donate online at our website, which is WTULNewOrlands.com. So sorry to interrupt, Kevin. We've only got a couple of minutes left, too. So finish what you're saying. But if you could also let listeners know if there's anything you want us to know.
Well, what I would ask our listeners, once again, is to reach out to your council people and the two at-large people and express your support. Hopefully it's your support for this sensible policy change that the city is looking at.
What's the name of the ordinance when people write to their council members? What should they reference?
I don't think a number has been assigned to it, but we have been just recommending, just stating that people that a person is in support of the marijuana reform ordinance that is being sponsored by Councilwoman Guidry.
Great. That's great. And we'll put this information up as well on our Tumblr and Facebook page. So if people want to go back and re-listen to this interview, they can do that and also access information they need to know to how to contact council members and support this ordinance. And you were out at Bullets last night, so you talked to some folks out in Gentilly, and it was the first time you said you hadn't been to Bullets before, so
it's almost embarrassing, and thank you for calling me out on air on that. Considering that I work at Tipitina's and Chickiwawa's, I get to see a lot of great music. I'm very blessed that I get to make a living helping facilitate our musical culture here. But I had an odd Thursday night off, and I went out to Bullets in Gentilly, specifically because I really wanted to start doing political outreach on this in Gentilly, and I had a fantastic time. Met some really great people. Kermit Ruffins was playing, and a lot of people that weren't even aware that the council was looking at this right now. And sometimes when you're in the middle of a campaign or a project like this, you just assume that everybody knows what's going on. And as my wife reminds me very frequently, she says, honey, not everybody even knows about this. But it's a great eye opener that you have to go out, shake hands, talk to people, let them know what's going on. And the fact is that the city is trying to make a concerted effort for a behavior that is, let's face it, relatively socially acceptable in our city, to not criminalize it, specifically when you look at marijuana enforcement in Louisiana and in New Orleans. In the past, it's been the poor that suffer. middle class and upper class people, you know, are often not being stopped and frisked in their neighborhoods. But
just priming while white.
Well, just recognizing the fact that even entering into the criminal justice system, and once you get that marijuana charge on your record, which, by the way, this summons would is a municipal offense, not a criminal offense. So a person would not lose the ability for housing assistance, for to get student loans. That's something that a lot of people don't realize, that, you know, Johnny A gets arrested.
The ancillary effects on
and he can't all of a sudden get a student loan.
Right. We were talking about that before going on air, and unfortunately we've run out of time. But yes, I think, you know, the negative impacts, it doesn't only affect the person who is in, who has been arrested. It also impacts the family. You know, it just contributes to this whole downward spiral that eventually reverberates out to the community, to the city as a whole, to the state and the country. And I think I'm with you, Kevin, that we need to change the paradigm and start thinking about our policies differently so that we have an overall positive impact on the whole, as opposed, you know, as opposed to thinking that incarcerating or arresting our way out of our problems is the solution, because we, as we've come to find out, it's a very expensive and
well, we've done it for humanitarian 50 years, and we can look at the results today.
Exactly,
and the results aren't pretty.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for don't run away. I was going to get some information from you to put up on our Facebook wall before you leave.
Absolutely.
You're listening to WTUL New Orleans. This is the News and Views Show. You were just listening to an interview with Kevin Caldwell, who is the director of Common Sense NOLA. They have a website that you can go to. I think it's .org, right?
CommonSenseNOLA.org.
And so we'll be putting that information up and how you can contact Kevin if you need more.
Facebook and Twitter as well.
Awesome. And speaking of Facebook, we have a Facebook page, News and Views is the name. So you can go, you'll be able to go there to access this interview again, but also you can check out our NOLA to Angola newsletter, which highlights events going on around the city that deal with the prison industrial complex and so on. So if you go to our Facebook wall and go to that page, you can find out what's happening on a weekly basis, and feel free to team up or join or explore or visit any of these organizations. They always welcome new people that are interested in turning around our criminal injustice system. So we're going to play Democracy Now in just a little minute. But before that, speaking of bullets and entertainment and all that great stuff, if you're looking for something to do tonight, here's what's going on tonight in New Orleans. At the Circle Bar at 10 p.m., the Bush Hogs with special guests. And there's also a happy hour from 6 to 9 p.m. with Chris Lee Experience. At Preservation Hall, there's a 6 p.m. show with the Preservation Hall Legacy Band with Wendell Brunius. And at 8, 9, and 10, the Preservation Hall Brass with Daniel Farrell. At Siberia at 6, Hot Fire Happy Hour, DJs Anita Bump and Lil Basta. And at 9, David Lieb Hart. Also at 9, Valerie Sassafras, Joystick, and Miss Wallace. At Snug Harbor at 8 and 10 is Peter Martin Trio with Ruben Rogers. At Bank Street Bar at 10, Blind Spots, The Last New Beginning. At Blue Nye Balcony Room at 10, Water Seats. At the House of Blues at 9, Bobby Whitlock and Coco Carmel. And at 10, Fiend plus Less and Wacko. And at the Britannia Theater tonight, they're showing The Witch and 45 Years and Spotlight. You can call the theater for showtimes. At Zeitgeist, they have two films they're showing. Einstein in Guanajuato. And at 9, that's at 7:30. At 9:30, Requiem for the American Dream. And there's nothing on our prison industrial complex NOLA to Angola newsletter for tonight, but tomorrow, Saturday, March 5th, the New Orleans Palestinian Solidarity Committee is hosting a three-part teach-in series at Broadmoor Arts and Wellness Center. That's 3900 General Taylor Street. And they're trying to ramp up their campaign launch, so you can join NOPSC as they learn and prepare together. And there will also be a teach-in. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. They have a Facebook event. If you call me at the station, 504-865-5885, I can give you more information about that. The number again is 504-865-5885. And that is also the number you can call if you would like to donate to our marathon fundraising drive that's happening right now. So to help us keep all this amazing programming on the air. And I hear that Bill Clinton is in town. He's doing something over at on Barone Street at 9:30. I'm sure he's listening to this show. Kevin, I think we're going to have to go out after this and hit up Bill Clinton for some money for WTUL News and Views. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, the Clinton Global Initiative has been very kind to New Orleans. I'm a commissioner of the Broadmoor Improvement District, and the Clinton Global Initiative was very generous to us in our rebuilding efforts of our community center library. So keep investing in New Orleans, Bill.
I'm all for that. If you could do one good thing, do that, Bill. Anyway, all right, let's go with Democracy Now! And thank you for listening. And we'll see you at the bottom of the hour.